Hey, we're back here on Downtown on this Thursday afternoon. All month long, well, all last month and even into this month, because it needs more than just a one-month celebration, we've been honoring the 50th anniversary of a part of our cultural space, a downtown landmark, and a place that means so much to so many people. We're talking, of course, about Penobscot Theater Company. And here joining us in studio, the artistic director, Jonathan Barry. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's great to be back.
Well, it's good to have you here with us to kind of put the wraps on this phase of our celebration of the 50 years. We've had so much fun talking with Ken Stack and Mark Torres, Barry Newport, Scott Levy. But now we want to talk about the present, but also the future of the theater as well.
Sure. Yeah.
But let's start with your journey. How did you end up getting here from Chicago?
You know, COVID changed a lot of people's plans, and I had a job that I was pretty happy with in Chicago as artistic producer, but I was starting to sort of sniff around and think, oh, there might be something more to do here. And I'm not sure that I would have left entirely voluntarily. And then they had to do some pretty dramatic shifting around. And so I got into a pretty serious look at, oh, what's my next plan? And what do I really want to do? And after about a year and a half of adjunct teaching and sort of keeping my eyes open, the PTC, job posting literally kind of fell into my inbox, and it just seemed like a really great fit.
As you looked at it, as you explored what was here in Bangor and what it could be, what was it about it that made you say, this is the fit for me?
Yeah. The first, I think I could have access to the history of plays, and I could see that there was a real appetite here for, you know, not just things that were popular, but also things that were compelling. And I was surprised at a couple of plays that I thought, well, that was pushing some envelopes there. And then, you know, to be honest, it can feel in Chicago, and particularly in Chicago theater, that you really are sort of preaching in an echo chamber, right? And one of the things that I got really excited about was, you know, Bangor is a town that splits about 50-50 when it votes. There are a lot of ideologies, and there's a lot of opinions that are pretty oppositional and different. And for me, a theater organization in a community is always meant to be a place of conversation and engagement. And it was a really exciting idea to think about programming for a group of people who weren't always necessarily going to agree, but might stand in the lobby or now get a drink in the bar afterwards and talk about it and maybe start to see another perspective, another opinion.
Well, and of course, you're in your second season here. Season one, you had some input, but you really inherited the season. And then this year, because of the 50th anniversary, there were some restrictions because you wanted to honor those previous 50 years. So
sure.
I'm looking forward to what season three of the Jonathan Barry era means, because I think then we'll get a real feel for the direction you want to go. But give us a preview. What do you think a theater of this size in a community like Bangor ought to be to its patrons?
That's a great question. And, you know, frankly, I am now pretty deep into thinking about our 51st season. And I'm grateful now for those, 2.5 years, which will, when we start that season, of knowledge of the community, because I really do feel like I can start to get a better sense. One thing is for certain, if you program something that is too far one way or too far another way, you'll hear about it. And I'm grateful for all those conversations. But I think that for me, I really want to make sure that there's a mix, right? Mm. We have two things always slotted in the season, our holiday show and our summer musical, that are meant to be pretty broadly appealing, things that you can bring your families to, things that will engage a larger group of folks. But then that gives us a lot of wiggle room within the rest of the season to really ask, what is the conversation that we want to be in? And you know, for me, you know, some things that are on the table. I can't speak too directly, so I don't mean to be cagey about it.
No, but, not at all.
You know, there's a great play that is talking right now about sort of centered around a book club and literally a conversation around like high art and low art, and that is a really exciting sort of conversation. I think that it's an appealing one. There's a play that is really looking at a main icon in a very new and exciting way, and that for me is particularly in a big political year a kind of interesting opportunity, I think, to look at where we've been and what we're maybe lacking now and where we might be going.
Let me ask you this. How important is it to you, and do you think of it as part of your job in a community in an area that is not terribly ethnically diverse to provide some diversity and some representation on the stage?
It is 100% part of what I feel like the mission of the theater is. And, you know, to be frank, the Bangor community and the diversity of the Bangor community is expanding pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I think that, frankly, PTC, you know, we've been a little bit behind in terms of representation. So I think a big thing that we certainly say on staff now is that, you know, it's not that there isn't any diversity in the community. It's just that we haven't made a lot of inroads into the conversation or the invitation, right? To say, right. Why would they seek us out right now if we haven't, if they're not ever going to see themselves reflected or their stories told? And I truly do. I like to think of a play as something that can be either a window or a mirror, right? The mirror reflects back yourself, right? But the window really gives you an opportunity to look in and see somebody else. And I think that that kind of representation is incredibly important. So our commitment, right, to that diverse voices in playwriting and directing and actors on stage is all continuing and hopefully will be grown in season 51.
We're talking with Jonathan Berry of Penobscot Theater here on Downtown. There's always that battle, and maybe with the structure of the theater, you know, you let Jen Shepherd and others worry about the monetary side, but there is always that balance between culture and commerce, and at times giving the people what they want, and at times expanding their understanding of what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you have to look at the season as a mix of that, right? But I also really believe that part of the job, you know, certainly of the artistic director is when programming more challenging material, how do you get out and till the soil a little bit?
Right.
The perhaps belabored metaphor is of a seed, right? And if the play is the seed and the idea there is the seed, right? Like if you're not tilling the soil at all, there's no way that seed is going to take. But not all the seeds are going to take. But if you can prepare people a little bit and say, hey, this is what the experience is. This is a framework or a lens through which to watch it. I think that you set yourself up better for success. So we're having a lot of those conversations right now about, you know, Mr. Burns, for instance, on this season is...
Which I cannot wait to see.
It is a play that I'm so excited for. But I also recognize that it might not immediately be everybody's cup of tea. So how do we talk about it and how do we create conversations around it that will at least provide, you know, I was going to do a physical gesture, which is terrible on the radio.
but I do it all the time.
Right. You know, that immediate moment where someone like sits back and crosses their arms and sort of like puts up that barrier. How do you anticipate that a little bit and just get them to maybe lean forward a little bit? And not everyone's going to love it, but I think there might be a broader swath of people who do if we can get that conversation out.
Well, along those lines, because all theaters are dealing with this, we've seen theaters all around the country close up in recent years. COVID certainly exacerbated that. And as theaters try to get customers back, I think sometimes there's been a tendency to get them back by making the theater safe and comfortable and perhaps not very, very challenging to them. But I think the other way to get people back is to get different people. And so how do you draw new theater goers and frankly, a younger generation, because I'm guessing that Penobscot Theater's subscriber base, like that of most theater subscriber bases, is, well, probably significantly over 40 years old.
That's probably true. I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, but I do. And we love our longtime subscribers, but it's true, right? Like if you don't grow that, one of the things that that I inherited that I'm hugely grateful for, you know, Mary Poppins was the first really deliberately family-friendly musical that we did. And we got a lot of families through the door, and we were also offering a first-time $100 subscription. And we saw, gosh, I'm going to get the number wrong, but I feel like we saw nearly 200 people sign up for that.
That's great.
That's 200 people who never subscribed before, and they're coming in at a low rate, but it's a younger group of people. It's a group of people with families who are planning this as their date night or their night out. And so I do. I think some of it is programming. We've instituted a college night that we're really pushing and trying to get people through the door on that. So I think that second generation of that younger generation of people who, you know, literally aren't in the habit of,
right. Well, that's what I was going to say. How do you make that become a new habit and a part of their life?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's about we're talking a lot right now about what are the barriers, and sometimes literally ticket price is a barrier, particularly for someone who's, you know, either in college or just out of school. A $40 ticket is a, you know, a large investment, and even though that is, you know, frankly, less than what it costs us to make the thing, right? I think we're talking a lot about how do we make some of those moments more accessible to younger folks, and then it truly is about one of the things that I've been actively doing is trying to make sure that I'm choosing plays that have young people represented in them. You know, because I think it works the same way as BIPOC right. representation, right? Like if you don't see yourselves reflected up there on the stage, there's not a lot of reason to come through the door. And so, you know, it's why I chose Clarkston as one of the first plays that I did, because I'm like, oh, this is a story really about two young 20-somethings, and I haven't seen a play center on that in PTC history in a while. So
I want to mention too how impressed I've been with something you've done on a regular basis since you arrived here, and that's your support of the arts community and the theater community specifically. And you were posting about it on social media last week and really making an effort to get out and see what other theater groups are doing.
Well, I think that has to be part of it, right? We're a community of around 30,000, and you know that's neither small nor big, right? But there are a lot of people who love the arts here, and for me, as you know, as the professional theater in town, and all that means really for me is that we have made a commitment to paying every artist who works for us, you know, and there's a lot of community theaters who aren't able to do that, and I have a lot of respect for that. I don't think that it necessarily needs to be that way, but I don't, you know, if you don't see yourself as a quote unquote professional theater, or worse, if the professional theater hasn't made any attempt to get out and know the work, right? Then we're in a situation where the local talent isn't coming through the doors. And, you know, I mean, first of all, I love the work. I love to see it on all levels, but also I can't afford to bring in, you know, 10 artists for Mary Poppins, right? That's cost prohibitive for me at this point. So I need to find those local folks, and I want to see them on our stage. And I appreciate you saying, you know, because I do. I love it, and it's always good for me to see new people.
So what's the future of theater? What's the future of Penobscot Theater as we swing into this second half century? How does theater remain vital, and how do you make it grow in a place like Bangor, Maine?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was having a conversation with Rebecca Bradshaw, who runs the Gloucester Theater in Massachusetts, and she came up last week to see the show. And you know, I think about television, right, and the sort of expansion of television, what television has done, right? Like back in the network days, there were three, maybe four, and they had to be pretty broadly appealing to capture as many people as possible. And I think one of the reasons why we're seeing extraordinary television right now is because it has become so niche, right, that you can really tell the story that you want to tell. And it's very driven by artists, and it's very driven by writers, and, right, like, you know, now that the strike is over and they're finally acknowledging that, right?
Right.
But I think theater is, that was true of theater for a time, and then I think that particularly the regional theater movement sort of swung to a place where they really aimed to be broadly appealing to primarily white, primarily upper class people.
Right.
Right. And so for me, actually, the future is more specificity and more choice within the season. So, you know, I love people who come and see everything that we do. I also recognize that we program, hopefully now, such a broad range of things that if you love everything that comes to the door, I'm surprised. And I want to find a way to make you able to sort of pick and choose your way through the season, and not feel bad about, like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to like that one. In the same way, like, push it past down your Netflix queue. And that's great.
Right.
Right? Because somebody else is going to love that one.
Exactly.
So I think for me, the future of theater is more specificity and really leaning into the thing that theater does best, which is create an intimate and engaging experience in the dark, surrounded by people. And, you know, there's just nothing like that, that the electricity of that exchange. And I think, fortunately, I really believe in our product. Not, I mean, yes, PTC's product, but the product of theater in general. And I think if you experience it a couple of times, I think you're going to be hooked. And so, you know, I don't have to do too much to sell that. I just need to get people through the doors to try it a couple of times. But I really think more specificity and leaning into the stuff that we do best.
Well, this season is off to a tremendous start and some wonderful shows coming up. We want to congratulate you and everybody involved on the 50th anniversary and the celebrations that have gone on. And I'm so excited for what the future holds for Penobscot Theater with the great work you've been doing and will continue to do.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's a pleasure speaking to you.
Jonathan Berry, Penobscot Theater Company Artistic Director, with us here on Downtown.